please pray for me, pray with me. Lord, send your Holy Spirit and light our hearts on fire and clean us up, Lord, from all the distractions of the world and this week so that we can just hear what you have to tell us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah, the Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Very good. Y'all are great. I don't know if y'all remember a guy by the name of Albert Schweitzer. He was a missionary, medical missionary in Gabon, Africa, back in the mid-1900s. And so he was actually an organist too, and he'd play concerts around Europe to raise money to fund his hospital. At his mission hospital, there was a little girl in the mission Sunday school, and she wrote a letter back to her sponsor back in Europe. And she said, she called him a Gunga, which is the word for medicine man. She said, in her letter, she says, wonderful things have happened since a Gunga came here. People are sick, and they will come to him, and he kills them, and then he heals them, and then he raises them from the dead. Isn't that a great resurrection story? So little Reese has been killed and been healed and raised to a new life in Christ. Isn't that amazing? It's a great story. So, Albert Schweitzer. This morning we have we have three readings, and the theme in the three readings is about freedom. So this is the first. Last Sunday was last weekend was the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, which are the essential parts of Christianity. You've got to get those or else you're not a Christian, the bishop said in his message. So the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so this is the first Sunday after that. And so the lectionary has these readings. And so these are the first things that the people who developed the lectionary, the church history, this is the first thing that they want us to look at after the resurrection, after we've been risen from the dead. And the theme this morning is freedom, the freedom in Christ. And so I've got a good Presbyterian three-point sermon for you this morning. So the first point is the freedom to do something. The second is the freedom to be something. And the third is a little bit obscure, and it's the freedom of belief. So we're going to talk through those three things. So the first one is the freedom to do something, and that falls appropriately to Peter, the doer. So he's been preaching Jesus, and then he's thrown in jail, and then there's a jailbreak, and he's free to get out. So he's free to do something. Now, so what he does is he goes to the Temple Mount. So one of the things I would think would be the reasonable thing for Peter to do, right, is he's been preaching Jesus, thrown in jail, he gets out. The reasonable thing would be to say, I've preached the gospel to you, I've preached Jesus to you, and so now I'm getting out of Dodge and I'm leaving. But he follows what God asked him to do, and that's to go to the Temple Mount, which is the most public forum in the country, and to preach Jesus again. So he does that. So he has the freedom to do that because he has freedom in Christ. So the second thing is the freedom to be something, and that's the Revelation passage that we have before us. Says that we are freed from our sins to be a kingdom of priests. Now, y'all know that the prophets, the movement with a prophet is that God tells the prophets to do something and the prophets tell the people. So the movement is from God to the people, right? And God calls us to be priests, and the movement is the opposite of that. The priests take the people and their sacrifices and bring them to God. See how the difference is? You may even notice in the service that we have, the first part of the service is the reading of Scripture and the preaching coming down to us. And then after the peace, the movement switches. And then there's us bringing the sacrifice of Christ as our Passover, our thanksgivings and offerings and praise and worship to God. So there's this movement back, right? So we're called to be priests. And so priests go get people and bring them and say, your sacrifice has been provided. Come and be reconciled to God. Right? So we're called to be priests. So we're called and we're given the freedom. Now we're free from our history, from our sins, from our self-esteem problems. We're freed from all that so that we can go get somebody and we can bring them and say, Christ has died for you. Come and be reconciled to God. So the first part is the freedom to do something like Peter. The second part is the freedom to be a kingdom of priests. And so we can join in that freedom of being priest. Now this next thing, the freedom of belief. And this is the story of Thomas. And so Thomas all the disciples are gathered together, and Thomas has been written out of that scene. So God has written him out so that we sitting here today, April the 27th, 2025, can read about this and think about this. So Thomas is written out of that scene. So the other disciples see Jesus, and then they come to Thomas and say, "We've seen the Lord." And he says, "I don't believe it." And so God lets him stew in that disbelief for a week, and then he comes back, and then Jesus does appear to him, right? And so when Jesus appears to Thomas that time, then something has happened to Thomas, right? He believed beforehand. He followed Jesus for 3 years. So he had belief in Jesus, but something has happened to Thomas that there's been a switch, a change in Thomas. So now he believes, but he really believes. So now he has the freedom of belief to move into being a priest or doing something. A couple examples of that. One is that when Louise and I built our house next to Mr. Phillip, I found out very quickly that he could fix anything. You know, he could fix the wheelbarrow, he could fix a pencil sharpener, he could fix the hydraulic system on the tractor, he could fix anything. So I ended up with a belief in Mr. Phillip, right? I believed in him. And what that did is that gave me the freedom. So I had the freedom of belief in Mr. Phillip to take apart my washing machine. That noise was driving us crazy. So I could take apart the washing machine, replace the bearing, because I knew he had my back. So my belief gave me freedom to do that. Take it apart, fix it, put it all back together. I could go to him and say, "That washing machine is purring like a kitten. Thanks for being there for me to call on if I needed. Now I do have this washer left over." So I had the freedom to take apart the washing machine again. But that freedom of belief, right? Does that make sense? Another example of freedom of belief is one of my favorite stories. There's a guy named Charles Blondin, who is a tightrope walker from France. He came over to Niagara Falls, and he strung a tightrope across one part of Niagara Falls. And he would walk across and back, impressing the audience there. He did it, I think, something like 300 times, and he got bored doing that, so he'd do weird things, like he'd walk across it blindfolded, or he walked across it in a potato sack, walking across. He walked to the middle once and stopped in the middle and pulled some stuff out of his backpack, and he fixed himself an omelet over Niagara Falls. So he was terrific. So one time he took a wheelbarrow, and he walked a wheelbarrow across the tightrope and back. And everybody said, "Oh, man, that is great. You're good." And so he put in a 50-pound bag of potatoes in that. And he walked that back and forth. And they said, "Yay, you're the best. You're the best. More potatoes." He said, "Oh, okay." So he put in another bag of potatoes, 100 pounds of potatoes, walks across there and comes back. "You think I can do it again?" "Yeah." So he puts in another bag, 150 pounds of potatoes, walks across Niagara Falls on the tightrope, walks back. "You think I can do it again?" "Of course you can do it again. Of course you can." He said, "Okay, somebody get in." There was no freedom of belief in his little congregation, right, to get in. But Thomas has had this change, this switch, this change of belief. So one of the things that I've always wanted, so when Jesus appeared to him, then everything changed. He went from, "I believe, help my unbelief," to he was solid belief, right? One of the things I've always thought about when I hear this story about Thomas or read the story is I think, you know, Lord, well, do y'all remember the musical, The Fiddler on the Roof? Do y'all remember that musical? Tevye is the main character in it, and he is, he's singing kind of in the middle of the musical. He's singing a prayer to God called, "I Wish I Were If I Were a Rich Man," is the name of the song. And the last stanza in that song, he says, "Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, Lord, who decreed I should be who I am, would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a wealthy man?" And when I read this story about Thomas and Jesus showing up to Thomas, maybe y'all are with me on this. Very often I think, Lord, could there be a little Thomas event for Walt? Right? Could there be just some, doesn't have to be something so spectacular as walking through the walls, but just let me see one hand, you know, let me peek at your foot, just something to help me get over that disbelief and get in the wheelbarrow. Does that make sense? So I sit there sometimes with that. And as I've been thinking about that, I realize that I have seen nail prints in Claudia Boyce's hands as she teaches big old linebacker Futrell at DJJ to paint an iris. So Futrell took me back to his cell at DJJ to show me this iris that he painted. And I said, Futrell, you painted that iris? It looks like an iris. I've seen the nail prints in Stephen Hainsworth's feet as he mucks out one more flooded house. I've seen the wounds in the side and living water. But y'all remember the story about the woman at the well? And Jesus says, if you drink the water that I give you, there will be a spring of living water flowing out from you. So I've seen the blood and the living water flowing out to poor Ellie, who lost both her parents in that terrible plane crash a few weeks ago. Walking beside her, no answers, but presence, right? I've seen the nail prints in Jason's hands as he teaches his little baseball players that even God loves a fast-breaking curveball, right? I've seen the blood and water flowing out from Katie and John and Jonathan as they went to the Low Country Pregnancy Center, her carrying her baby, to tell those people that are overwhelmed by their pregnancy, I'll walk with you. Right. I've seen nail prints in the feet of Jenny as she teaches her dance students that even blistered and bloody feet can be a tribute to the God who loves the dance. So the thing that I would like to end with, I guess, and offer you is stay with it. Stay with it. Be the hands and the feet and the bloody side and the living water for those around you, because the world is a desperate place. You know, in the latest Pew research poll on religion said that 86% of the people in the United States believe in God. 86% believe in God, but they need a Thomas event to follow Jesus, right? So I just encourage you I could have these stories all day long for all of y'all that are doing stuff, but just stay with it, because the world needs you to be the hands and feet of Christ. Amen.